This is an ABC podcast.
Hi and welcome to You Little Ripper. I'm Kurt Fernley, former Paralympian, and on today's show, we find out whether Riley, the rock bat, flew into the opening ceremony like a scene from Jumanji and saved the Paralympic movement. Also today, what is inspiration and are our Paralympic Aussies filled with it?
And I'm Georgie Tunney, professional sports watcher and sports reporter for the ABC. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country today. And remember, this episode of You Little Ripper will be translated into Auslan. The interpretation will be up on YouTube later today. And once it's up this evening, we will let you know. So do keep an eye on our Twitter feed so you can find the latest link. We are also going to be providing transcripts of every podcast because we are trying to make this as accessible as possible. Kurt, are you feeling a little bit lighter today, a little bit defying gravity type style? Because we've had the opening ceremony now. We're looking ahead to all the action we can see in the events later today. But what were your thoughts on the opening ceremony? The theme was We Have Wings. Did it take you off? Did it take you to places that you were hoping to go?
Look, we saw the athletes for the first time. It was a very unique opening ceremony. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to some guys on the ground and the creative. It was talking about trying to make a unique greeting, which in the Japanese culture, the greeting, the welcoming of somebody, the handing out of tea is really... It's an important part of their culture, plus the colour and the light. When a community also, they're so... They hold those moments of colour, light, excitement back for something that is really special. So it was a really in-your-face, everything's happening
at once.
It was
a kaleidoscope. They weren't holding much colour back, were they?
It was everywhere. But look, as soon as those athletes go onto that stage, that was just so great to see them. That's where their participation starts. Mm-hmm. And to have Riley... that and Danny DeToro come through into the stadium to see the Aussies in their main uniform for the very first time holding their flag. They didn't drop it.
They didn't.
No malfunctions.
I think we haven't had this confirmed, but I'm pretty sure they must have been listening to our episode yesterday with your handy hints for how not to drop a flag,
look,
being a flag bearer.
That's what I'm there for.
Yes.
I'm there to give that tiny little bit of advice that stops people becoming Gandalf the Grey.
It was so magical, though. And was this something that I hadn't seen before? And I'm not sure if it is something that we've seen in other opening ceremonies at the Paralympic Games. But when Riley and Danny were marching into the stadium, they were mic'd up.
Sharing that moment with them both and hearing how much it means to them in the moment itself was amazing. Look, I loved that moment. I loved it. Like, again, these are some of the closest people, and you just know how amazing they are, how just genuine and caring they are for each other and the entire movement. Mm-hmm. To see them given that honour to take in that flag, there are no better people to carry our flag. None. I couldn't imagine a person that is more worthy or people more worthy to represent our country. And when they come out, look, it was my You Little Ripper moment, but also it was really funny as well. I've never commentated. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
Commentated?
Yep.
I've never really commentated an athlete parade before.
Yes.
I felt like I was commentating a horse race. That was going
okay.
pretty
In your defence, it was fast. Like, this was a really fast procession, I have to say, with all the teams coming out representing all of the countries. It was tough to keep up.
Now representing Australia is Riley Batt and Danny DeToro, but coming around the outside, it's Argentina. Argentina have passed by Austria. Austria with the flag goes for the...
What did you do to calm down?
I didn't.
You're still not.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
It was... I think that this moment to see the games actually take place. Mm-hmm. We even spoken about it yesterday about the nerves. It's started now.
Yes.
And seeing how much they love that moment, the response on through the audience, it was a 1,000% increase from previous games.
And this is the TV audience, so the broadcast, the ratings, there was... Which is really, I mean, I think it's amazing that we have been asking for the support and people are giving the support to this team. They always have. But as you mentioned, historically, this is the best. This is the most support right now for them.
There's a million people in Australia that sat down and watched our team, that sat down and watched the Paralympic movement, that watched a ceremony that rephrased or reshaped people with disabilities. And every country's on their own journey with disability. Like, every country tells its story in a different way. We, the Australian community, tell our story often through like a human rights approach, equal access, co-design. Many parts of the world, they are starting to tell their story. The athletes with the disability are starting to actually own their narrative for a bit. So I hope that that opening ceremony, that moment for the people with disabilities in Japan, I hope that they can use that stage to tell their story, to tell their desires, to start to be able to find their real strong advocacy voice. And the Paralympics on their own, they won't change the world for people with disabilities. But nights like last night, that can be a start.
And that's why you've touched on it, but the human rights aspect and the movement that we were invited to see last night at the opening ceremony, We the 15, that is my You Little Ripper moment, because it is focusing on people with a disability in a different way on that public stage than we've seen before, given that global attention. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you haven't seen the clips about We the 15, here's a little snippet.
You're such an inspiration.
So brave.
You remind me to be happy.
I love that you don't let it get you down.
Good for you.
It breaks my heart.
Look at you out and about.
You push us all to do better.
You are superheroes.
Really?
Yeah, we're superheroes,
all
right.
So perfect for me.
Getting the kids out the door on time.
I love this. What do you think about it?
I also love it. I really do. It's always complicated with trying to get an accurate representation of percentages. The 15 is meant to represent the 15% of people who are internationally recognised as living with disabilities. In Australia, we estimate it's more like 20%, but other countries around the world may only say it's 6% or 5%. It wasn't that long ago that there were countries that refused to admit, in my lifetime, refused to admit they had any people with disabilities. So this 15% was recognised as an international percentage. The campaign isn't about making people with disabilities superstars or superheroes. It's getting to the real wonderfully human part of each person with a disability.
And that's why I really like it, because even in so many of the articles that we will see today about the opening ceremony, I challenge everyone to do a quick search about the most used word in those articles. And it is going to be inspiration. I'm going to bet a house on it. Don't own a house, but I'm going to bet that on it. And the thing is that, yes, I find inspiration in what I saw last night. I am going to find inspiration in what I see over the coming fortnight. But for you, is it annoying to always be coined as someone who is inspiring, or it's amazing that you can do this, it's incredible that you are able to do this, when that's just your life?
I don't really even know what that word means
anymore. Okay, yeah.
I really, when I hear it, I don't really feel anything about it. It's just lost all meaning, because I've been told I'm inspiring for doing X, which is pretty out there, but I've also been told I'm inspiring because I drive or because I have two kids. You know, people in wheelchairs, they've been both driving since people have been in wheelchairs.
Yep. So fair amount of
most
time.
People with disability have this real conflict with that word because it's been overutilized in two different extremes. It can be utilized as a rightful praise of a moment. It can be utilized as a reference to pity.
Yes.
And pity in our community, pity is cancer. Pity pulls the hope and life and desires out of who you are and who you want to be. Pity is the opposite of what the community ever wants to feel. So although the intention might be to utilise inspiration in a positive light, and no doubt that is, when it's received, if it's received like many people with disabilities in that spectrum and also so frequently, then the word's done. And this campaign, We the 15, is about getting the world together to look at disability. You don't know how many diversity days that I've been to in all parts of rooms, in commercial, in public. And I'm the only person with a disability in there.
Yep.
We are 20% of Australia, recognised officially as 15% of the world population, about a billion people, and we still struggle to get into your schools, into your workplaces, into common spaces. There is a court case now where we are still fighting to get access into a public town hall. It's been fought right to the High Court that people with disabilities don't have to enter into the side door. Heaven forbid that we want to go through the front. So the campaign...
You're talking crazy talk there, Kurt Fernley. My gosh.
The campaign is uniting a group, the Special Olympics, the Paralympics. We're uniting this medium that challenges misconceptions around the world, and we are putting it in there to potentially get real-world outcomes, access, employment, just to feel like we are welcomed as your peer, you know? So this campaign I love. There's purple is its colour. It's been flying all around the world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, although we are advanced in our story around disability, sometimes it just needs to get the ball rolling. And hopefully this campaign is something like that.
I love what it stands for, the power that it gives you, the power that it gives the 15, the 20% here in Australia too, because we're done with this othering, right?
Oh, done with the othering.
That's not cute.
We're done with the, I'm going to look past the disability.
Yeah, I really loved you talking about that yesterday. So when people are watching, more eyes than we've ever seen, watching the Paralympics and cheering on Team Australia, your advice is for people to look at them.
See it. See it all. And see how wonderful these people are. Mm. See the joy that they give to the people around them, the support they give to the team. I've been in that team for 25 years, and watching the coverage now, it's so funny because a lot of the backstories I have never heard.
Mm.
I never sit down next to Brendan Hall and go, so, what happened? It just doesn't come up.
Yep.
I see it, mm-hmm. and I'm like, hey, legend, how you doing? Today on You Little Ripper, we get to talk to the chef de mission, the best sports administrator that Australia has ever seen. We saw her in the opening ceremony last night, walking behind our two heroes, chef de mission, master extraordinaire.
A drum roll. Woo!
Kate McLaughlin.
Woo, 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 woo. Wow. Kate.
No pressure. Wow.
Kate, we saw you going out into the stadium with Riley Batt and Danny DeToro. How was that experience?
I can't describe it. It was amazing. It was we had a big responsibility on our shoulders. Those two were fully aware of the athletes that weren't behind them, that they would love to have been behind them, but they represented them so beautifully, and it was a beautiful moment as they walked into that stadium, and I know that they thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
Kate, can you tell us a little bit more about the decision or the behind-the-scenes workings to make it only Danny and Riley, the co-captains, the co-flag bearers, to be marching for Team Australia at the opening ceremony?
Yeah, look, it was an incredibly difficult decision, but it's one that we worked with our biosecurity experts, with our chief medical officer, with our COVID liaison officer. And look, the reality of the situation is that in Japan at the moment, the cases have been skyrocketing. The concern for us was that we're at the beginning of the game. People are still arriving from all around the world. We can't guarantee that someone's not going to become a close contact. And those opening ceremonies, Kurt, you'd know, you get on buses, you're close to people, you're waiting for long periods of time in the heat. We just didn't want to leave anything to chance. You know, it was a safety decision. It was one that, you know, we want every single athlete to make it to the start line. And if we can protect them by not sending them to a ceremony and making sure that they don't become a close contact, that's something that's really important, because they've worked so hard for this game. They want to compete. And, you know, the last thing you'd want is for someone to miss out because of something that could have been avoided.
What is the information flow like for you over there when it comes to the organisers and getting the communications out, whether or not there's been some close contacts or even positive cases within teams? What's that been like for you, and how do you go navigating then the safety of the athletes because of that information?
Look, we get daily reports on how many cases have been identified. And look, really pleasingly, there are very, very low numbers in athletes and officials from other countries. The main people that are testing positive over here are games time workers. And what that's done is just reiterated our decision to have no cleaners come into our allotment. We've given cleaning kits to all of our team to make sure that they can keep their own apartments clean and tidy. And all of that, when you see the cases in the games volunteers and so on, that just, you know, that was a sensible decision from our part. So, look, we keep an eye on those numbers, but given we have such a tight Australian Paralympic team bubble within our allotment, you know, the only time that there is exposure is obviously when they're getting on the buses and going to the venues. But if we can mitigate against that when they're back home and relaxed in their environment here, then that's the best thing we can do for them.
You even shipped in food for the entire team over the 2 weeks. I can't imagine even trying to feed Riley Batt over 14 days. The logistics of making this bubble as tight as what you've been able to do. Are you getting any sleep?
Yes, we sleep. We'll sleep in September when we're back. No, we're bringing 900 meals in every day. And I have to say, look, Kurt, you've been in a village before. You understand what's in the dining hall. The food has been amazing. You know, I know that it's a tough ask. Our nutrition team are just fantastic. But the food that we're eating is healthier than we've ever eaten before. When you go to the dining hall, quite often you're tempted to go and have a cheeky pizza or something deep fried.
Don't you judge me, Kate. Don't you judge me on my own show.
Sure, hang on. Surely that's allowed. Surely you're allowed if you are, you know, competing at the Paralympic Games. You're allowed a cheat meal here and there.
Well, I like this.
Surely. Come on. And this is why Kate McLaughlin is the chef de mission and we are not, because we'd be like, guys, get in there. Carbs every day, all day.
Oh, sorry, Kate, I did cut you off. I am very sorry, but I was feeling judged over here. That's all.
I'm not judging you at all. Everyone needs something like that every now and then. But all I'm saying, I guess, is just the food we've got is just, it's top notch. And, you know, the athletes are eating incredibly healthy. And, the nutrition team are up to all hours. They're making their own, you know, wraps, sending sandwiches out first thing in the morning. They were up at 4 o'clock this morning making about 60 wraps to send out with athletes who are competing today out at the stadium. So, you know, there's a huge amount of work going on in the background to make sure that our team are keeping healthy, keeping fit and eating really well.
I saw photos of Denny and Riley walking in like a corridor where all of our athletes were around. They were all dressed in their opening ceremony. It looked like you captured all the energy in that one moment. How was that? And has there been like feedback from the athletes about how they felt about that moment?
Yeah, look, the time we had in the village, so we all met in the afternoon just before the buses left for the opening ceremony and had a really lovely gathering where, you know, we read some poems, we talked about how the importance of the Paralympic uniform, the meaning of the journey, the Indigenous design that's, you know, on all of our kit. We had everyone together, and then as soon as we actually had a call as well. Kurt, I don't know if you know this, but we had Uncle Kevin Coombs called in from Australia to wish the team best of luck live from in the village, which was a beautiful moment. He was quite touched to be invited. He's one of our very first Paralympians. He competed in the 1960 Games. He was our first Indigenous athlete. And to hear his voice come over the loudspeaker to speak to the team was just a beautiful moment. And following that, we had a guard.
Okay, you're making Kurt cry. You're making Kurt cry. He's welling up in the studio here about Sir Kevin Coombs.
Saint.
Yeah.
Saint.
It's
Saint. Sorry, I've correct myself. Hang on. Fact checking. Thank you.
It's Saint Uncle Kevin Coombs.
Yes.
What's the vibe like today? It's games time now, Kate. Like the competition started. We've had the swimming already go in the heats. How's How's everyone feeling on day one?
I think everyone's feeling really focused now. I think we had a beautiful time yesterday where the team came together and now we're here to do a job. So it's fantastic to see the athletes all get on those buses this morning and out to compete. Our cyclists are in action, our goalball girls are in action, wheelchair rugby this afternoon, the swimmers. It's so exciting to finally see international Paralympic sport at its absolute best.
I cannot wait. Kurt can't wait. And Kate, as one of the world's best administrators in sport, you would have been tested quite a lot throughout, you know, so many of your tenures. You'd have difficult situations, different challenges. But here on You Little Ripper, we do something called Fast Five, which is probably going to test you possibly the most.
Definitely.
I think definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah,
the
will
most.
We say that?
Yes,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Officially the biggest challenge of your career to date. Kate McLaughlin, chef de mission for Team Australia at the Paralympic Games 2020. Are you ready to play Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Maybe.
It's that trepidation we love. We love. Here we go. Here we go. Question number one. So whatever the first thing that comes into your head, Kate, question number one. What is something that you wish that you had in the village at the moment with you, but you don't?
My kids.
Oh, my God.
God, for question one, we're gone.
I've already started crying. question two. We say it's Fast Five, and then we get sidetracked, like, not fast at all. But question two, we did hear from Riley yesterday. He has his lucky Batman jocks. Obviously, I have my lucky undies.
Yes.
Sam Kerr, her lucky undies as well. So we're getting a collection of lucky undies.
Yes.
Kate McLaughlin, greatest sports administrator of all time. Do you have any superstitions?
I used to, when I used to be a gymnast, I had undies just like you.
Stop
yes!
it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Like your undies. They weren't your undies, just to clarify, but they were like,
you know what? If there was one person I would share my lucky undies with, it would be you, great chef.
Oh,
it would be
thanks,
you.
Kurt.
Sorry, I'm launching an investigation into Team Australia, the mob, because this obsession with superstitious underwear, getting people through tough times, I mean, I love it, but it's odd, guys.
It's not odd.
It's odd. It's odd. So in your role as chef de mission, Kate, you, of course, have to meet so many athletes. You get the opportunity to brush shoulders with them every day. What story or which athlete that you can think of off the top of your head has your favourite story?
Oh, that's so hard. I do love the story of Ahmed Kelly, I have to say. Mm-hmm. That is because he could not meet a prouder Australian, and to have come from a Baghdad orphanage all the way to the world stage for representing Australia, that gives me goosebumps every time I think about his journey and what an amazing representative for our country he is.
Next one, Kate. Kate, if you weren't the greatest administrator of all time for the Australia Paralympic Committee, what would you be?
I would be a mascot. I would be a mascot and I would dance around in a mascot costume and no one would know what I was doing. Well, no, who I was, sorry. They'd know what I was doing. I'd do interpretive dance and no one would care because they wouldn't know who I was.
I'm adding a new question here for our Fast Five to finish things off. Who's your favourite ever mascot? What's the mascot that you look at across all sports? Doesn't have to be games related. Can be, you know, your local football club or whatever. What's your favourite mascot you've seen?
Barney the Bear from North Sydney Bears. Hands down.
Strong.
What a classic.
Yeah,
you've
strong.
Really reached yep. into the archives that, there.
That's why she's the best.
Nothing
that's why
wrong
she's
with
the best.
Archive.
I get it now.
Bring back the Bears. Bring back the Bears.
Okay, I just love what you do, the way that you've brought this team together in some of the most challenging circumstances. Actually, I would say this has been the most challenging circumstances that our movement's faced. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the team that you've got around you. And good luck. Good luck. We know what you do. We know how hard you work. And you've got all of our support and admiration. And keep doing what you do.
Keep those spirits high.
Thank you so much for your support, guys. It's awesome to hear how much people are getting behind this team at home. Very, very great.
Opening ceremony, all the emotions around it, all the colour, all the craziness, the brashness, the melancholy for little periods, and then we had that crazy bus with the guitar, and it was a lot. It woke me up, I've got to say. I was like, wow, I'm paying attention again, paying attention again. But the opening ceremony, it has now come to a close. That's finished. We can look forward to the action. Kurt, what are you looking forward to today?
I am so excited about goalball. Goalball is one of those unique sports to the Paralympic movement. Aussie Bells, the women's goalball team, it's also a sport that is specific to the Paralympic movement. It's for those athletes that are visually impaired. The goal of it is to make sure the ball doesn't get into the net behind you. So you've got three people defending the net as a ball's rolled towards them with a bell in it, and they dive and they smash themselves. And the way that they throw themselves on the ground,
yeah.
I feel like I break a cartilage watching it.
I'll probably just pad up in support of them, right? Like, I'll get the elbow pads, I'll get the knee pads, I'll probably put a helmet on because I might get that excited that it could happen.
It's like Jess Fox when we were watching her in the canoe and kayak. I hurt my abdominals during that. I started the cramp.
But it's gonna the clench.
Everything's clenching and I'm leaning back and going forward and down such. But tonight, today, make sure you jump on and see goalball. See those sports that are so unique to the Paralympic movement. And again, try and talk about and figure out how wonderful these people are, including every aspect of them.
Mm.
Georgie Tunney, what are you looking forward to today?
The pool. The pool is my favourite thing across any kind of games, be it Olympics, be it Paralympics. I love watching the swimmers in action. I love seeing what they will be doing and diving into and seeing what they can achieve. We have so many athletes in action today. It all begins. There's Brendan Hall. There's Ellie Cole. We've got Lakeisha Patterson. There's Ahmed Kelly. I'm just so excited to see what these athletes can produce throughout this week. So for me, anything that's going on in the pool, you know where to find me. I'll be glued to the television just there.
I think you're a bit of a glory hunter. Because we are so successful in the pool, we get so many gold medals. Georgie's like, hey. I like that.
I mean, I like a certain kind of success, Kurt. I think that's allowed.
Bling, bling.
Hey, look, shiny stuff is nice. It's cute. It's pretty. But I just love the stories behind them. And also I think that the swimming team, and of course, correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, but the swimming team for me is one that I have grown up with. There's a certain number of veterans there that I know from previous games, and I have followed their journeys throughout those campaigns. And so to see Brendan Hall trying to win his third straight gold medal, to see Ellie Cole try and win even more gold medals, and Lakeisha Patterson, lucky, see what she's able to do. It's almost like I am part of their family, and I'm their biggest cheerleader, so I will be there with the pom-poms. I'll probably put goggles on just for emotional support. Like, will it help? I don't know. That could be my superstition, but that's what I'm most looking forward to today.
I did wonder why you're wearing your swimming cap.
It just, you know, it makes it more streamlined, Kurt.
Of course.
More streamlined. Course. Aerodynamics.
No, I
don't make up science.
I get it.
Thank you once again for joining us on You Little Ripper. We'll be back tomorrow wrapping up what's happened today, previewing what's ahead as well, and every single day of the Paralympics. Remember, tell everyone about it. Leave us fun reviews, nice reviews, and contact us on Twitter. We want to know the moments that have got you screaming, You Little Ripper. So make sure you are tagging at Georgie_Tunney.
Or at Kurt Ferdley.
And make sure you use the hashtag You Little Ripper, hashtag Wyla, and also tag at ABC Sport.
You Little Ripper!
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.